Let us pray. May the words that I speak and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Can you hear me okay? Okay, good. On the second Sunday of Advent, we will soon, light the peace candle in our Advent wreath. Which is really, I think, rather ironic when you consider that the central character of our gospel for today is John the Baptist. And he's sort of the antithesis of a peaceful figure, isn't he? The opposite, maybe, of a gentle Archbishop Desmond Tutu who wins the world over with his loving kindness. Or a Fred Rogers. Have any of you seen the movie lately? Who makes room for everyone in the neighborhood, as unthreatening as a well-worn cardigan sweater and the house shoes he puts on to symbolize comfort and approachability for young children. But John the Baptist is a different kind of character altogether. And some of us remember sort of being terrified as young children in Sunday school when we were learning about John the Baptist because he looked like a terrifying figure. He went around dressed in these skins of animals. He sort of held them together with a leather belt. It's almost comical, but it was scary when you were little. And we were told he ate locusts and honey. Locusts and honey? Really? He must have been skinny, is what I figure. Some commentators have described John as the oddest front man in the history of the world. And you know what a front man is, right? Or a woman. It's the person who comes on stage before the main event, before the star of the show, and kind of revs up the crowd and introduces the person who is going to take over the mic and be the one that evening. So I was sort of thinking of the current slate of political candidates and wondering what I knew about their front men or women at their political rallies. And I realized I knew nothing about any of them. And then I got to thinking about campaign theme songs. And those songs are sort of like the front men or women of their campaigns. They prepare the audience for the message and themes of that particular candidate and get them all charged up before the candidate, him or herself, takes the microphone. So just for fun, I did a little search to see which songs were identified with some of the lead candidates in the current race. Donald Trump has chosen Lee Greenwood's God Bless America. No, it's God Bless the USA. Joe Biden, Bruce Springsteen's We Take Care of Our Own. Elizabeth Warren, well, Dolly Parton's 9 to 5. Pete Buttigieg, Bachelors Never Give Up. I don't know that one. Will, do you know that one? Okay, somebody has to, I'll have to look it up. Cory Booker uses Lovely Day by Bill Withers, and Castro uses Turn, Turn, Turn from the Birds. That one I remember. Kind of dates me. Bernie Sanders, predictably, Power to the People from John Lennon. And Amy Klobuchar, Dessa by the Bullpen. I had to look that one up. It's a rap song. It's actually pretty good. And just for fun, closer to home, FDR's theme song was... Yeah, happy days are here again. I really don't think John the Baptist had a song to introduce his campaign theme as frontman for his cousin Jesus. But if he had, it might have been Repent, Prepare. Human beings aren't very good at heeding warnings, are we? Meteorological systems warn us that a hurricane is coming, and still people stay put. They stubbornly want to stay where their homes are or their holiday bungalows along the seacoast, and they pay the price off. Medical personnel warn us about the risks to our health, and yet we persist, many of us, in ignoring the evidence, and we choose to pay the price, which is sometimes to gamble with our own lives. We know that we have to save for retirement. We know that. But when it comes to taking something out of our check and putting it aside for the future, either we just don't have it, or we are tempted and distracted by our best intentions to buy that thing that just we have to have at that moment. Frontman John the Baptist's whole purpose is to warn us to prepare for the coming of God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, a theme at the heart of Matthew's whole gospel. This is his theme. He's warning us to repent from all the ways that we get off track in our lives. I like the way Alice McKenzie puts it when she describes the message of John's teachings in Matthew's gospel like this: how we are to prepare for our exit interview from this earthly life or on Judgment Day. Ever had an exit interview from a job? Sometimes it's nice and sometimes a little painful. You know, we staff have to go through evaluations, sometimes nice, sometimes a little painful. But it's all to the good. We face reality. So John is calling us to account. Repent, prepare, it's time. And he's also saying we are not only to hear Jesus' words, but we're to do them. What makes for peace in our hearts and with other people, what makes for peace in our world, is first of all peace with God. Living into the priorities of God's kingdom. And that means sort of letting go of all the distractions, among which might be a tendency to focus on ourselves. And when we're doing that, it's so easy to miss the needs of others around us. Or being seduced into investing the majority of our time and energy into pursuing ambitions that provide prestige and power as defined by this world's standards. Or making excuses. Excuses for postponing living out God's priorities in our lives. John the Baptist is Jesus' front person, and he's there to call us to prepare. And the first step in preparing for the coming of the baby Jesus at Christmas and the resurrected Jesus who will one day come again is to repent of all the ways we manage to be unprepared to follow through with God's priorities for our lives, loving God and loving our neighbor. It's not like the message is very complicated. Love God, love your neighbor. That's how we get prepared. Or as John the Baptist puts it in our gospel for today, bearing fruit worthy of repentance. We can repent all day long, but if we're not actually doing something about it in our lives, it's just words. So we need John the Baptist to jolt us into action on the second Sunday of Advent. We need to get ready, and that means being prepared. But prepared for what? John must have believed with all his heart that he was the front person for that long-awaited Messiah. He put everything on the line. He gave up normal living and went out into the wilderness and wore crazy things and ate crazy things because he really believed that this was the Messiah. Jesus was the Messiah, and he was letting everybody know that this guy was going to come along and he was going to turn the world upside down and inaugurate the kingdom of God in such a way as to make it impossible for people not to get on board with God's ways. John the Baptist was a zealot. And he promised that Jesus the Messiah would usher in the day when God would come with his sharp axe and his hot roaring fire to make things right again, to cut out and burn out everything that gets in the way of living together in God's peace. But how did it turn out for John? Herod threw him in jail. Jesus, the Messiah, did not roar into town and drain the swamps in the way that John must have imagined that he would do with the sharp axe and the roaring fire. John sat in jail. Jesus continued to go about healing and teaching and spending most of his time with not the rich and the powerful, but with outcasts. There was no clean sweep of things the way the front person, John the Baptist, must have imagined. Ultimately, John was beheaded. And his head was served on a platter at a feast at Herod's table. What a way to go. Meanwhile, Jesus, the long-awaited Messiah, was arrested and humiliated and crucified, and then he was resurrected from the dead. He made actual public appearances after he had come back from the dead. Who does that? You would think that might have caught the attention of the whole of society in Jesus' day. One might have thought that everyone would repent on the spot after that. That they've reformed their priorities and at last this old weary world would be at peace. You and I would be at peace in our hearts, in our lives, with the people around us. And that the peoples of the world might be at peace with each other. How does it look today, folks? How is it in your lives? It would be like another big bang. That's maybe what he thought. A cosmic reset that put us all back on track to live together as God intended for us to live together, the way Adam and Eve experienced it in the Garden of Eden. But there was no automatic cosmic reset. And if that's what John the Baptist was expecting, boy, when that axe came down on his neck, he must have died very disillusioned as a disciple and as the front man for Jesus. And it might be easy for you and me in our lives together in our world today to feel that somehow God has let us down too. Where's Jesus when I need him to fix things in my life? Where's the Messiah, the Savior of the world, in these sorry times? Part of the Advent journey, folks, is about repenting from our habit of imagining who God ought to be. And then being disappointed about not seeing the fat figment of our imaginations in the ways we expected to see the idea of God. Part of the Advent journey is to prepare ourselves to see with the eyes of our heart how God is actually present and working in the midst of our lives, in the midst of our world, for healing and for justice and for peace. Think for a minute about how stone is shaped by water. I love stones. I love the seashore. I love the rocks that crash against the waves, or the waves that crash against the rocks at the seashore. Have you ever seen a rock that's hollowed out where there's a hole? Think about that for a minute. Water did that, drop by drop. Drop by transparent, short-lived drop. Water did that. Water transforms rock as no tidal wave could ever do. And that is how the Messiah has decided to come for now. Not all at once, but steadily, drop by drop by drop for millennia. Every time someone lives as Jesus lived, by loving as Jesus loved, another drop falls. Did you think you were alone and abandoned? Unredeemable? Unlovable? Begin to connect the dots. Remember and reflect on those small, ordinary gestures of loving care that have come your way. And take heart. Use these remaining weeks of Advent to prepare to see ever more of the mystery of God's love in action along your way. And as you do, you'll begin to feel more of God's peace in your heart. You'll begin to feel more of God's unconditional love in your life. Amen.